Boyd called me this morning and told me about Brother Mike's brother. And anyway, I told him it was snowing here. And up in Bel Air, Maryland, the last several months, as you well know, the weather has been really, really bad. He said about 6 weeks ago, they thought about not having church, but it got too late and they didn't think they could get a hold of everyone. So they decided to go ahead and have church, and to their surprise, about 40 folks showed up. But the interesting thing that happened, there was a family, either had five kids or a family of five, and I'm not sure which one he told me. It was either five in the family or five children. But anyway, they had gotten dressed to go to whatever local denominational church that they attended there in Bel Air, and that church had closed up and they were unaware of it. So as they was driving down the street, they seen all these cars gathered around the Mount Carmel Primitive Baptist Church. And believe it or not, they decided since they was dressed and prepared to go to church that they would go in there and worship the Lord. Needless to say, for the last 6 weeks they've been in attendance. They hadn't missed a time and they've been coming on Wednesday night. So if you think the Lord is not able, you need to think again. So very thankful that we had services. And I know that doesn't happen every time the weather's bad, but you know, the Lord is able to do things that's above and beyond what we think. And so therefore, someone was led to the Primitive Baptist Church and rejoiced in the truth, and they've been continuing to come because their church closed up that day and it wasn't open. So that gives you some food for thought. I'd ask that you would pray for me this morning. I'm very thankful for the prayer that Brother Gale offered up for the song service. And as it is, from time to time, I struggle with what to preach on Sunday, unlike Brother Gale, who has it down pat most Sundays. I seem to struggle with the ideas and the thoughts of what to preach. Sometimes I feel like I know what I want to preach on, and sometimes I don't, and this is one of those times that I'm not certain. But the thought that's on my mind is the thought of happiness. It really is, and I've thought about my own life, and I've thought about the life of God's people, and I've thought about the idea of what happiness really is. Are you really happy? You know, oftentimes you approach folks in life and they give you a big smile and they give you a big hug and they have this grand appearance of being happy, but on the inside they're stirred up and tore up, and life is always like a boiling pot of water. Something's always going on. They're full of stress and anxiety, and they're really not a happy person, even though they give you that appearance when you encounter them from time to time. So happiness is something that I believe is important, extremely important, if you're to have a fruitful life in the kingdom of God. I don't think that a miserable person and one who has no inner joy, one who has no inner peace, and we'll talk about that here in a moment, will really get out and have a fruitful life in the kingdom of God. Because you're miserable, you're in distress, and really most of the time when you're unhappy, you dwell upon yourself constantly. You're obsessed with yourself and your problems and all the things that have drug you down in life. And you know, when the Lord created us, He didn't create us that we would live in this earth and have every day as a good day. He makes that pretty clear, and we're going to look at that in a moment. But we as Old Baptists have a truth revealed unto us that God took care of our salvation apart from anything that you and I ever did, would do, or could do. We wasn't worthy of it. We didn't earn it. We couldn't purchase it. Well, you know, there's some in the Bible that made an attempt to purchase salvation, but it can't be purchased. It was purchased by the precious blood of Jesus Christ and nothing else. And we ought to be the happiest people every day that we live upon this earth, because we know that yoke of bondage has been removed, and we realize that one day we're going to live in glory based on what Jesus Christ done and not what we done. We don't have to walk in the right path and make the right step and say the right thing. So as we begin here in life, we ought to have a happiness about us that a lot of people don't have. A lot of people are not happy because they spend all their life concerned about what they must do, what they must say, and how they must act to get to heaven. But I tell you right now, if our hope of heaven is based upon our behavior, we're all going to miss the boat. Because none of us have the behavior that will get us into heaven. Now, we notice that in Psalms 144, and I know many of you are familiar with this verse, the psalmist David says in the last verse, in the last part of that verse, "Yea, happy are that people whose God is the Lord." You know, I believe, and I know I made a great mistake in a lot of my life of thinking that if I served the Lord Jesus Christ and if I went to church and if I hung out with the Lord's people, that somehow or other I was probably going to miss out on some of the great and joyful things that this life had to offer. Unfortunately, I've gotten older and the Lord has given me some wisdom that I didn't have in those days, and I've come to realize that, you know, with the Lord in your presence at all times, your joy and happiness can be just as great as trying to live this life out there without it. When we talk about happiness this morning, I want to talk about something that is lasting. I'm not talking about you being happy here just in the congregation of the saints or just in the song service that we had. I'm talking about a lasting inner happiness that goes with you from day to day and week to week. A happiness that is not torn apart by the difficulties of life. Because the Lord said we're going to have troubles. We're going to have afflictions. Some of us are going to get sick, and we're going to have ailments that the doctors that we know cannot cure. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could cure if we're cured. And truly, just like we, all of our sins are against God, all true healing comes from God. It may be through the hands of a physician, but it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's think about being happy. Are you happy with your job? Are you happy with your wife or your husband? That might be a question that some of you don't want me to ask. But truthfully, are you happy with your neighbors, your brothers and sisters in Christ? Are you happy with your coworkers? The position you have in life, are you happy? Or do you put on this smile and shake these folks' hands and hug their neck and go out into life and you're troubled all the time? As we go into this sermon this morning, Lord being our helper, you can only examine yourself. I don't know. Now, there are folks that I know have put a smile on their face and give me the idea that they were happy when I knew they wasn't. You know folks like that. But a lot of folks, we don't spend enough time around to have that realization. If you just see them on occasion or run into them at work, you may have the idea they're happy. Some of them may be, but there's a lot of folks that are really not happy. I believe happiness is a choice. You can choose to be happy. You can choose to take the best you have in this life and do the best you can with it. But apart from Jesus Christ, I don't think that's possible. As that song said, the only one that will really satisfy our soul is Jesus Christ. It really is. If you try to walk through this life without the Lord Jesus Christ, if he's not a vibrant part of your life every day, then I'll tell you right now, you're going to have some great disappointments. Because the Lord said, in this world ye shall have tribulations. We're going to have those trials. Things are going to come our way that disappoint us. Our children may disappoint us. Our spouse may disappoint us. Our coworkers may disappoint us. There's something out there in life that always brings disappointment. There are challenges that you and I are going to face, every one of us, of one nature or the other. How do we handle those? Do they tear our life apart? Because if we're not in close communion and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll assure you that's a possibility. Now in John chapter 10 and verse 10, another familiar verse, Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now there are those in the world who will teach us that that is eternal life. I don't believe that's what they're speaking of right there. But even if it is, even if it does embrace that, I believe it embraces the very life that you and I live right here and now. I believe that's what it's talking about. Let's notice as we read from the sixth verse of John chapter 10, it says, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things were which he spake unto them. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Do you believe for 1 minute that that door is a door that you on your own power, of your own will, can enter into and obtain eternal salvation? It's not possible. Because we're not saved by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, who called us and saved us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Over in John chapter 1 and verse 13 it says, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. It's not the preacher that gets you to heaven. It's not the man himself, but of God. So this door that's being opened up here cannot possibly be a door or an entrance into, heaven that you and I have the opportunity to walk through. It can't possibly be. This door that's opened up is a door to a life that is abundant. It's where we go in and feed with the Lord Jesus Christ. He feeds us. We commune with Him. We have fellowship with Him. We put on Christ day in and day out. We go to bed with the Lord Jesus Christ. We wake up with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I believe in America, to some degree, religion and even Christianity has become what people would sense as a two-hour get-together on Sunday. Really, it is. But you know, when the Bible says to let your light so shine that others who see your light brightly shining will look unto the Lord God of heaven and glorify Him. And I didn't quote that verbatim, you might word for word. But they see your good works and glorify our Father which art in heaven. I think that's going to be done. And I believe the Bible teaches us outside of the local gathering of the saints. It's out there in the dark places of this world, in the neighborhoods you live in the places that you work, in all these places. But I tell you right now, if you're seeking happiness in anyone outside the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to come to a place where you're disappointed. If you expect your wife or your husband to give you lasting, internal happiness forever and ever, you're going to be sorely disappointed. They can give you happiness from time to time when we walk in the ways the Lord teaches us to walk in. But I tell you what, when we're looking around at men and we're not looking up into heaven to the Lord Jesus Christ, we're looking in the wrong place, in the wrong direction. We're looking for happiness in the wrong places. I don't believe that you can have lasting happiness unless the Lord is a part of your daily life. Think about that. I've heard people say, well, I have a hard time fitting the Lord into my schedule. Have you ever heard anybody say that? I go to work all day. I sleep all night. I've got kids. I've got activities. But you know, I believe God's people are to minister. And I believe that's what soothes our soul and satisfies our soul. You know, I went out of the country twice, and I'm not here to preach on that. But I believe when you get out there with some of God's people who are less fortunate than you and I are, I tell you what, it does good for your soul. It really does. When you feed somebody, and those places exist right here in the United States of America, when you get out and help those folks, it does your soul great good. It really does. It teaches you how to be compassionate, how to show mercy, as God has showed mercy upon you and I. And it's when we're in this state, we're happy. You know, I've known some men in my life, and they wasn't Primitive Baptists. But I believe that if we devote ourselves to Christ every day, that folks ought to get a little glimpse of Jesus Christ in you and I. They really should. Have you ever seen men of that state? That when you're around them, they're manifesting that love that we're told of in John chapter 3, 1 John 3 and 1, that has been bestowed upon them. You know, we should be the sons of God. It didn't say we would be. But when a man manifests the love of Christ that's been bestowed upon him, you get a glimpse of Christ. When Jesus said in Matthew 25, He said, when you've done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. That tells me that when we're doing things for others, they might get a glimpse of Jesus Christ, even though it be a small glimpse in you. Because it is Christ in you, the hope of glory, as we're told in Colossians. Christ satisfies the soul. He satisfies the hunger. So often we seek that satisfaction in other places. Now, I'm not trying to tell you that we can't enjoy a football game or a fishing trip or whatever it is that you like in this world. But that verse says, happy is that people. Yay, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. In Philippians chapter 3, we're told of a people whose God is their own belly. In other words, they're fulfilling their life with the lust of the flesh. I don't want to take away from you having fun in life. I believe God intends for you to enjoy the things that He created. But it's like I said a few Sundays ago, there's nothing wrong with having a lot of money. What's wrong is when the money has you. It really is. You can have all the money in the world, but long as the money doesn't have you and dictate what you do and how you live, and you forget the Lord our God, money's not a problem. The love of money is the root of all evil. The money itself is not the problem. When you never lose sight of the one who gave you the money, the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be a happy person. Now, a lot of people will say that I've lived my life and disappointments have come my way. I don't have the job that I want. The people that I work with are not nice. They don't treat me right. My children act up all the time. They're not doing the things that I wanted them to do. My brothers and sisters are walking contrary to the way that I think they ought to walk and live. You can be filled with negative thoughts. But let's look back here in verse 10 again. Jesus said, I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, as we know, I believe God's intention is for his people to be happy, truly happy. I believe that's what God intends. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. He says here that abundant life, I believe, is a superior life, a superabundant life, as that word means, that a life that not the average person out here in the world could have, especially one who's not a child of God. But God intends for you to have an abundant life. Now, notice the first part of this verse. It says, the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. You know, I believe there's a lot to say about being positive and about being negative. You know, a lot of people, they have their minds and their hearts filled with negative thoughts. Matter of fact, I come from a family that has a lot of negativism, and I'm not here to bash my family, but, you know, the Venables have a lot of negativity in their life. And I tell you, that's not something to get it's easily gotten away from. You know, you can be eat up with it. You can actually be poisoned with it, if you ask me. I mean, your outlook on life is always bleak. There's nothing ever any good, and it's just going to get worse and worse. But you know, we've been given a victory. Our victory has been given to us by Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God, which give us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do we act like a victorious army? We never fired a shot. We never threw a punch. And one day we're going to land in heaven based on absolutely nothing that we've done. And we're going to live in a place where sin will never have another effect upon us. Death will never be a problem for you and I again. We ought to be the happiest people that ever walked the face of the earth. And we ought to do everything that we can to be happy. We know that David said, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Do you believe for a minute that David didn't have a bad day? He talked about dark days, but he said he didn't fear those days because the Lord was with him, because he wrote Psalm 144 and he stated, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. What I'm telling you is, it's like Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We sorrow not as others who have no hope. It doesn't mean you don't have a bad day. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have sadness in your life. It just means that when you're looking unto Jesus Christ, you never lose hope. Jesus didn't promise you that every day of your life would be good, but you know what he did promise you? That he would never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you might boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Can you say that? Every day, when you go to work, do you get up in the morning and say, Lord, what a day it is. This is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. He says, Lord, and say, Lord, I know that I'm busy. I know that I've got to work. But Lord, if it be your will, maybe you could open a door of opportunity here where I work, that I might give a word of encouragement to somebody, that I might minister unto them. Do you know that when our light is shining in the world, when we're happy in the Lord, we look for those opportunities. In the parable of the talents, those men were given opportunities. When the Lord opens a door of opportunity, do you use it to his glory? I believe that's how the church collectively lets their light shine. And when we come together, we're a city set up on a hill that cannot be hid. There's opportunity every day where you work, where you live. Lord, open that door. And if you open that door, just as he said in John 10, help me to go through that door to minister unto who someone's needs, someone that is less fortunate than I, someone who may not be as happy as I am. Encourage them. There's so many things that we can do. Let the light of God, the Lord's light, shine in you when you're among other folks. It'll make a difference in your life. And when you help them, you'll realize how blessed you are and how happy you ought to be in the Lord. But here it says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. We talked about those negative thoughts in our lives, and it's easy to get those thoughts. And when you get that way and you have a problem, a trial, a tribulation, you lose a loved one in your life, and we've all encountered those things. Satan's nearby. Satan doesn't have any new tactics, but he's there to help you along your way to be more discouraged, to be more negative. You know, when you come in home and you say, oh, I had a bad day, Satan's here to say, you know, your day was a whole lot worse than you thought it was. And it's going to get worse. It ain't going to get better. And he'll help you fill your mind with negative thoughts. But you know, in Christ Jesus, we ought to be the most positive people. We're told by Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it is, he says our light affliction is but for a moment. Until we begin to look at the greatest difficulties and the darkest times we have in this life in the light of God's word, it is a light affliction and not something that is going to destroy our lives. You know, David had a lot of afflictions, didn't he? He lost children. His children turned on him. Yet I believe David was a happy man because he was happy in the Lord. He was able to get through the dark times, and you will be too, if Christ is the one that's satisfying your soul. But if you're out here in life and you're searching for something in this world to give you peace, to give you happiness, to give you joy, you're not going to find it. It's not going to last. Now, the Bible tells us that even in sin, there's pleasure for a season. But I'm talking about lasting happiness. Jesus said in John 15 and 5, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. What do you think it is Satan wants to do? He wants to rob you of your joy. We're also told that in the world we're going to have tribulations. But Jesus began that verse by saying, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Satan wants to kill or destroy your peace. He wants to rob you of your peace, and he wants to destroy the joy and the happiness that you have in your life. And if you have the right mindset and you allow that, that's exactly what he will do. Because I can assure you, you're not going to live every day of your life without a problem. Your kids, your family, your wife, your husband, somebody, mom and dad, it doesn't matter. Somebody is going to disappoint you. Somebody's going to do something that doesn't set right with you. Somebody's going to pass away at an untimely time in your life. Is it going to ruin your life? Are you going to live the rest of your life with no joy and no peace? See, I don't believe unless your life is full of joy, unless you really have inner joy, lasting joy, and you have peace, I don't believe you can be happy, truly happy. Because a person who is stirred up on the inside all the time, a person who has no joy, is not a person who can truly have lasting happiness. But we ought to be the happiest people that ever lived, because we know where we're headed. And we know we're going to get there. We're going to get there. We have a hope in us, an earnest expectation that we will live with Christ. But you know, the Apostle Paul said we need to put on Christ. Let's notice what he says in Romans chapter 13, verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, you might say, well, I'm not supposed to go out and enjoy anything in life. No, it's just like I said about the money a while ago. You know, when we allow things in our life to take precedence or preeminence other than the Lord Jesus Christ, when we let the money have us, then the money is a problem. When we let the pleasures of this world have us, it becomes a problem. There's nothing wrong with having pleasure and enjoying the grand creation that God give us. That's what part of that abundant life is. But when you let those things get to you and you lose sight of God, and you become an individual or a nation that forgets God, then that's the problem. It's not the money. It's not the entertainment. It's not the pleasure of the things that you like. It's just those things have taken you away from serving the one who give you all those things, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in him that we live, move, and have our being. It's in him that we can find our happiness. Paul, I think, makes a great statement over here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Now, Paul makes a statement here and he says, I've not attained exactly what I want, and I'm not thoroughly complete at this time. But notice what he says, but I follow after. Who are you following after? Are you following after your wife, your husband, your children, your co-worker, your best buddy? Are you following after the Lord Jesus Christ? He says, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend or seize or take hold of Christ. And he says, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Do you remember the story of the Apostle Paul as he went down the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9? Was he not apprehended of Christ when Christ struck him down on the road to Damascus? Paul said two things there, and it ought to be what you and I say. You know, we sing a song, and I used to hear it said, and I didn't agree with it because I didn't know better. The song was surrendering your life to Christ, and I've heard other people say surrender your life to Christ. That's what we should do while we live upon this earth. We should surrender our life to the Lord Jesus Christ because it's in Him that we find lasting inner joy. It's in Him that we have real peace. And ultimately, it's in Him that you're going to have lasting happiness. If you're seeking that happiness somewhere else, you're going to be disappointed. It's not going to happen. You're going to fall short, no doubt about it. But he goes on here and he says, Lord, who art thou? You know, I find it interesting in verse 5, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. You remember Paul was wrecking havoc on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't believe in Jesus, even though he was a God-believing man. He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Have you ever known any of God's children that kicked against the pricks? That's like kicking against the goad, and every time you kick, you hurt yourself more than you do the goad. He's harming his own self. Have you ever seen any of God's children harm themselves in life? Because they're resisting following the Lord Jesus Christ. They're out here seeking for their joy and their peace and their happiness in this world. And it's but for a season. And when the storms of life come, and they will come, when somebody you love is no longer there, and it will happen, I can assure you it will happen. Are you going to sink to the bottom? Are you going to be able to put one foot in front of the other and go on? I'm not saying you won't have a sad day in your life. You won't have a problem to encounter. But I tell you, if you're not walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, it can crush you. Some of those folks never get back to the point of having any joy in their life. They don't. Never having any peace. But you know, we're only here but for a moment. And all that happens on this earth is a light affliction. If we're looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we ought to know that in just a short order, we're going to be in His presence. Is that not what we yearn for? Is that what not this old body is groaning for, as we're told in Romans chapter 8? The adoption that one day we will spend eternity with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus intended for you to have a happy and abundant life right now because of what He did for you, because of His grace that's bestowed upon you. And He said, I'll be with you through thick and thin. I'll never forsake you. You can always rise up and say, as hard as this day is, I'm going to get through it because the Lord's with me. He is my helper. I'll fear not what man might do unto me. I'll fear not what anyone will do to me. Just as David said, thou art with me. I tell you, we need to put on Christ every day. You need to wake up with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to go to bed with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to be in touch with Him during the day. Lord, open a door of opportunity to me that I might walk through this door and I might encourage someone, that I might give them a cool cup of water. You just don't know what God has in your destiny for this life. Do you want to be happy? Your happiness will only be in the Lord Jesus Christ, I promise you. I spent a lot of years trying to find happiness in this world. But I tell you, ultimately, it'll bring disappointment time and time and time again. Because the trials and afflictions are certain in this life. We're going to have them. But with Christ, we can get through those afflictions. Paul said, Saul of Tarsus, who art thou, Lord, and what wilt thou have me to do? That ought to be the words that we say every morning when we get up. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do this day? What door would thou open that I might go through and minister unto God's people? That I might give them the encouragement they need? Because the world's full of people that are stressed out, full of anxiety, and that's getting worse instead of better, I believe. But anyway, there's a lot of them out there. And you can be a light that shines in their path day in and day out. I believe that's what God called you and I to do when we live in the kingdom of God. It's where you live, where you work, where you go to school. All these places you encounter, you see different folks than I see. You work in different places than I work. And when your light is shining in that place, it makes a difference in this world. It really does. It makes a grand difference in this world. We're great about taking care of our own here in the church, and I'm thankful for that. But I think we need a minister wherever you live, wherever you work, because there's a lot of people that are struggling out here in this world from one thing or the other. Paul said, "What wilt thou have me to do?" Happy are those people whose God is the Lord. Like I said, there was many years in my life that I didn't think that happiness would come by going to church and being with the Lord's people. But you know, that doesn't keep you from enjoying life. Matter of fact, the truth is known, it makes life much more enjoyable. Because when the storms of life come, and they will come, the Lord will see you through those difficulties. You know, I look back on some of the difficulties I went through, and I don't have an answer, but by the grace of God, I move forward. And I know that I have not reached that plateau, and I know that I have not put on Christ day in and day out as I should. But I do know that His word is truth, and His promises He will keep. He is faithful unto His promises. If we put on the Lord Jesus Christ every day, and He walks with us through that life every day, it'll make a great difference in your attitude. And you will be more positive about life. You know, there's a lot to be said about seeing whether the glass is half full or half empty. Y'all have all known, folks, just as I have, that always view things in the negative light. And Satan's always going to be there to help you look that up and help encourage you in that area. Yeah? You've had a bad day, and you're going to have a lot more of them. Your day was a lot worse than you thought it was, and it may not ever get any better. And you'd be surprised how easy God's people buy into that. Satan hadn't formed any new weapons against us, because the weapons he has have worked so well for years and centuries that he doesn't need anything else to deceive us or detract us from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless us to put on Christ every day. And may God bless you. It is my prayer that you live life and you're truly happy. Because you are going to have the disappointments. But one day, you're not going to have to fear death. You're not going to ever have a moment in your life that you're not happy. But I believe that if you're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ hand in hand, day in and day out, that you can be happy every day, regardless of the circumstances or consequences of this life. May God bless us to do